The rise of e-commerce is the beginning of something unique and torchbearing of a change. Mobile e-commerce has taken the journey to a new chance. As a marketer and as a recently turned podcaster, I'm continuously exploring e-com and m-com platform for my various clients. And in this journey, it has intrigued me to further learn the objective of technology. Objective of the technology leaders, how they design these platforms and how they want to keep their ecosystems relevant to the next minute, because technology is so dynamic, it changes over the night. Well, in this journey, I was enthused to understand and explore his Store Hippo. Well, I didn't stop there. I connected with their team and eventually got connected with Rajiv Kumar Agarwal, who's a founder, who actually helped me to understand the clarity of their clarity of serving markets across B2B, B2C and B2B2C. For those of you who had to know about Store Hippo, Store Hippo is among the most flexible e-commerce platform available in market today. It's designed for diverse B2B and B2C business models of any type or any scale. Hi, this is Pawan Kumar and Desiree Stories. This is the Desiree Stories podcast episode, which is aiming at connecting various Make in India technologies and innovations with a simpler and a meaningful conversations with the founders and innovators for all of you. Presenting in conversation with Rajiv Kumar Agarwal, founder of Store Hippo. Rajiv, so we had a very good chat the other day. It was not a, see, from a, not just a podcasting perspective, say, as a marketeer, the emergence of mobile e-commerce platforms and the technologies that disrupted and kind of really empowered the business scenario across India, across the pyramid of business scenario in India, has changed a lot.
Yeah.
So I just want to hear from you. Let's say right from the days of CC Avenue, which was the first e-commerce or the payment gateway platform, which is still in that stuck in that typecasted first generation payment gateway, to right now, to we are talking about a generation of platforms and solutions that are coming up to ease things. So I just want to understand from your perspective the evolution of mobile e-commerce in India.
So CC Avenue, when it started, there was no mobile.
Yeah.
It was started as payment gateway. So mobile evolution, yes, you're talking about, that started maybe from 2012, 2013. And it came together like the advent of smartphones. So when the smartphone was getting popular, only then the mobile commerce got popular.
Yes.
So they are somehow linked. And that happened like much later. Then CC Avenue came into existence, I think the first, the beginning of the first decade, like that was around like 2001, 2002, if I remember correctly. People didn't have the acceptance of credit cards, and then the charges that they were incurring, like 6%, that was way too high to accommodate. So that paradigm has completely changed. It has completely shifted. So nobody would have imagined that people will be purchasing on phone, and they will have 80 to 90% transactions happening over mobile. That was unthinkable just like 6 years ago.
Absolutely.
Right? But now people are getting comfortable. Everything has changed.
Yes.
And not just mobile. I think the trust in the credit cards, trust in the online payments, the security measures. So all that have come together to take it to the next level.
So in this entire juncture, so where did Store Hippo started? Where did they see the opportunity, and like how did they kind of really build over this change dynamic that's happening across the world, including India?
So Store Hippo started, see, we had been working before Store Hippo also. So me and Kriti had a technical background. So we had been working with quite a lot of international projects earlier, including like big e-commerce projects also. So in 2013, we are at the cusp, like where the smartphones were getting popular. The technologies that were suitable for mobile, like single page architecture or mobile app architecture, those were getting, those were just launched. Those were also getting popular.
Okay.
Right. Credit cards were getting acceptance. The e-commerce was on the uptick. And the existing platforms, what we felt like they were not ready to accept that challenge. They were still built on like two decade old, like Magento was like still stuck on that server side kind of processing, which was not apt for mobile.
Sure.
So there was a huge opportunity that we saw based on our experience. And we were in that domain.
Okay.
So we reviewed entire experience. Then we did some competitive analysis. And then we felt a need for mobile first kind of e-commerce platform. And that's where the Storyfo came into existence. So we, right from the beginning, we started with a mobile first approach.
Okay.
Including, so that we had like few goals. Mobile first was one of them. Then another one, the flexibility. Like for the enterprises, the business models were changing very quickly, very rapidly.
So
the platform need to be capable to cope with that speed. You cannot have a feature and then wait for another feature in few years, because businesses demand that feature to coming in like few weeks, not in few months.
Absolutely.
So these two design goals that we started with.
Mobile first and agility.
Agility, yes.
Yeah.
So that's why if you look at our website also, like we were in a dilemma, like whether we have a tagline for mobile first e-commerce platform, but we decided that we tag ourselves as most flexible e-commerce platform because that is a better USP.
Absolutely. And that is timeless because mobiles might be changed with something else later. So,
right.
Yeah.
So if something changes to that, we are flexible enough to adapt to that.
I'm sure your communication in your brand, the positioning is also that flexible actually when I'm seeing your communication on websites. Yeah.
So we target like, enterprises have been our target, but our platform, it is designed, the pricing point is designed for small SMBs as well.
Okay.
So from small SMBs to a multi-country brand. So Storyfo has a good offering for the entire spectrum.
Okay. So Rajiv, can you just take me through, let's say, a B2C model, right? In the B2C spectrum itself, I'm talking about two different stakeholders here. Let's say, can you pick a persona for me, a base in Indian biz entrepreneur, maybe a retailer or someone? What kind of challenges he was going through, and like how Storyfo kind of really kind of built and transformed the business through their online leadership, the mobile commerce, e-commerce leadership?
Right. So if you look at the B2C kind of like maybe the smaller player, so there has been some examples like, see the Amazon and Flipkart also launched around that time.
Okay.
Look at it. So for the SMB to succeed against them, they need to provide certain USPs. Like the first challenge that they had to tackle was like maybe delivery. Because the larger enterprises, they had their own logistics. Flipkart launched their e-cart. Amazon already invested a lot into their logistics and warehousing. So for the smaller players to succeed in that, they needed a good support in terms of delivery. So that is why we also launched ShipKaro very soon after we launched Storyfo.
Okay.
Where we provided a good integration in terms of logistics. So these SMBs could connect with any of the provider, domestic and international, and they could ship their goods as soon as they receive the order.
So what we are talking is about a fully integrated life cycle for the vendors. So their e-commerce and technology is sorted. At the same time, the logistics also sorted, helped by Storyfo and its aliens. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is correct.
Oh,
so we have more than 100 plus integrations. So we have around 30 logistics integration. We have around 60 payment gateway. Then we have multiples of like marketing integrations to make it easy for them to sell their online.
So that's actually kind of radical, because that will help a lot of companies. There's a lot of startup companies right now in India. They're actually kind of struggling. It's not just about the technology, the ease of the technology. And this, the biggest thing is the logistics. Having a seamless supply chain or a logistics chain is the key thing right now for all these e-commerce companies to thrive. And I think you are actually solving that biggest problem.
So logistics is a make or break.
Yes.
So if you just master it, then it definitely helps you grow it further.
That's really true. Really true. So let's say there's one more scenario here, Raju. One is, let's say, how is the model that you are actually kind of intend to connect with all this B2C or the B2B players? Let's say, see, the thing is, one is in the chain, if you see the B2C players or your retailers or the hoteliers or any enterprises which directly connect with your business, their businesses directly. And there is one important segment, which is your B2B2C, which is in this agencies or the tech-enabled agencies or the companies which empower their vendors, basically. So how do you work with them? Because I think day in, day out, they also see a lot of technologies coming in. How do you entrust the trust for Store Hippo for them and make sure that they are kind of advocate or endorse your services, your technology, basically?
So we have worked with a number of tech partners, and they swear by the platform because the kind of flexibility that we provide to them. So whether at a starting level or whether at an advanced level, so they can deliver these features faster to their customers.
Okay.
Using this leverage.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, for that matter, we don't rely on like third-party apps or third-party plugins. A lot of features are built in, plus the flexibility that we provide to tweak these features. So that actually removes the need for third-party apps for most of the cases.
Oh.
And this is what these integrators like, because some other competitors, they rely mostly on apps. They have a lighter core platform, and then they rely on multiple apps. And then the customers sometimes get lost between these apps on how to coordinate with these apps or how to make it scalable. And that becomes a challenge, especially when you grow to a next level, when you grow your customer base, when you grow to multiple geographies or multiple languages. So to juggle with these apps, it is a challenge for customers as well as for the tech-enabled providers who are supporting them.
You've seen the change happening in 2016 to 19. You know, that was actually an inorganic trend. Maybe the demonetization kind of really exploited, exponentially increased the growth need for digital e-commerce. But the last 9 months or the 11 months, if I put it, the things changed drastically, and it's beyond an imagination. Now, from a zone which is lying between a comfort and a need, now we are actually in the utter need of seamless technologies, and all the companies and all the small vendors who are, I mean, by the way, one more fact is, in the last 11 months, there are a lot of new startups kind of opening up. There's a lot of home starters are opening up. In fact, one of my networks, they started a home fashion company, which has to be thriving in a mobile commerce. And I mean, there are a lot of cases that are coming up. So if this kind of need is continuing, wherein like there will be a lot of e-commerce dependency, what do you see the intervention of Internet of Things and artificial intelligence will actually kind of shape up with this kind of change that's happening post 21?
Right. So the first thing for these platforms, or these players, the home players or the smaller entrepreneurs, they just need a good interface to sell that is available on the mobile.
Yes.
So they need to be available through these different channels.
Yes.
Right. And rapidly and in a cost effective way.
Yeah.
Right. So the AI will comes in a picture at a much later stage when they have a very big data or very big orders from which they want to make certain sense, or they want to crunch some numbers to determine where they need to spend more of their marketing effort. Right. So I would say like that journey is faster for the enterprises. The smaller players, the home players, take some time to go there.
Yeah.
So I will suggest like they should not be bogged down by the big terms like AI and all, because at initial stage, for them to have a properly, fully integrated platform that allow them to directly reach out to their customer in a faster and effective manner, that is should be a priority.
Sure. So what about then, let's say, let's imply this artificial intelligence and big data to the bigger enterprises. So how do we see this? Let's say the emergence for them actually? Like what is that your prediction for them as such?
Yeah, so the big data and AI is definitely helping them to analyze the data, the orders data that they receive, see like what their customers are clicking, what their customers are planning to purchase, what is their sales funnel look like.
Yeah.
So they are able to, and what is the demographic of their customers?
Yes.
Right. So based on that, they can make some informed decision. They can, in real time, they are able to tweak their marketing strategies, their offers, and then see the result on the sales funnel. So it is kind of, with the big data, they get the feedback mechanism.
Raji, like how do you intend to build a stronger communication for your stakeholders? Like how do you kind of connect? Or like what is the message, how you take through this podcast also for them?
So to our customers, like the message that we want to convey is that if you want to grow, so don't get bogged down by the big terms. Just don't delay the start, because now is the time, now or never. So if you are planning to launch something now, and that applies to SMBs, entrepreneurs, as well as big enterprises. So we have seen like certain people just talk about it, but they hold on it for some time. So they are losing like big opportunity. So in the online space, it's a time to build brand. And the sooner you start, the better the brand will be. So they should start like immediately. And we are lucky enough right now that they have the entire ecosystem right at their service that we can utilize. They don't need a big investment into infrastructure or logistics or marketing. They can start right away with very little investment. And they can, if their business model is right, if their pricing is right, if their target audience is right, then they will succeed irrespective of the presence of big players.
So Rajiv, do you intend to share any success stories of your customers with StoryPo journey? Any couple of them, maybe in maybe from two sectors for our audience?
Yeah, sure. I would probably avoid like taking the names.
No problem. Here. Sure, sir.
Yeah, but I will probably go by the maybe just the normal. So we have customers in Middle East as well, in India as well. So in India, we have worked like with big paint brands. So earlier, the paints are some category like which were not thought to be like sold online, like specifically because of the nature of the matter. So nature of the product, because it is hard to deliver over the courier or logistics, because it is mostly delivered like locally. Right. Secondly, because it is a low ticket size, low price. Secondly, thirdly, the pricing changes based on the geography because of the different taxing structure. So they had around like different 700 variants of one product. Maybe and every product, every variant has a different pricing for different cities. Right. So that makes it challenging. So at StoryPo, we were able to solve that challenge. Very effectively, right? And so they could take this offering to their customers. And in the last 9 months, for example, the focus has been on hyperlocal, so which was not there earlier. So our platform was agile enough to add a lot of like hyperlocal features into the platform rapidly, which includes like tracking, which includes like live tracking of the delivery boys, adding the support for delivery boys, right? So that could come handy for those kind of models.
Interesting.
So another example I would give, like we have customers in Saudi Arabia. So they are a big chain. So they were also wanted to leverage the online presence. So gradually over the period of time, we have developed features that are suitable for our international customers. So like we have very strong multilingual, multi-currency and multi-store feature that allows them to launch like different marketplaces for different brand from the same portal. They can target different countries in different, in their own language and currencies, and they can have their local payment method supported. So this has enabled a lot of our enterprises to have their multi-country, multi-brand kind of portals, right? From the single dashboard.
Both of these cases. One is a brick and mortar brand which never imagined to be online, and that to different variants, yet StoryPo has actually automated in such a way that it went hyper local and it was success. And we are talking about one more is a overseas company which is holds multi currency, multi generation company. So I think two different cases, and I think I hope the Store Hippo kind of really transformed their business also.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. So my last question is, there is no other go than the top right now for digital e-commerce in India as a whole. The marketplace is getting shrinker day by day. Where do you see Store Hippo scaling in the next 1 year and 5 years, basically, if I put it that way? Let's say a short term and a long term.
So in the short term and long term, so I would say, like, in the long term, we would like to be a number one e-commerce platform, not just in India, but in the world. Mm-hmm. And we have the technology infrastructure to support us. So in the short term, we want to continue solidify our presence in the geographies that we are already in. So which are India, Middle East, the Europe. And these are the geographies we want to solidify our presence in these geographies.
Okay.
In the mid and large segments, we are increasing our presence. So where we are adding like more and more B2B features, more and more features that are needed by big brands who need to scale to the next level.
Okay.
So and that segment is like we are very well placed there with very good competition.
Okay.
So we want to leverage that advantage, the competitive advantage that we have currently.
Okay.
And in 1 year, like, we want to onboard a good number of enterprise brands across geographies.
Across geographies. Okay. I hope with your visible leadership and I think the proper strong technical excellence, I think, I hope, and it will happen for sure, the Store Hippo will actually chart new places and it will be the number one brand, go-to brand in the next 5-10 years. Thank Rajiv. Thank you, Rajiv. That's a good talk. And I think this talk is actually opening up a lot of new avenues for people to explore, especially your talk has encouraged a lot of this home, small startup companies or the SMBs, which are actually othered by the logistics chain, wherein your talk and your solution is actually will be a boosting for them. I think that is something I want to push this through podcast. And also we are talking about the technology enablers, where they are actually bogged up by this marketplace of tech integrations, a lot of tools to be embedded. And that's actually a biggest challenge. Through Store Hippo, I think they will actually ensure that the integrations are an easy part. And I think, like, it's a very good talk. We kind of captured many, many points. I think it's kind of really connects to two different audiences who actually earn or aspire to, or actually kind of want to scale up their mobile e-commerce or a mobile commerce platforms.
Yeah,
any points that you want to add on, please, Rajiv?
Yeah.
That's quite informative, Rajiv.
On the tech-enabled side, I would like to convey the message that the tech-enabled partners or service partners. So my message to them is, don't focus on filling the gaps of a platform. So don't offer your services to fill a gap in a platform, because those gaps will be filled anyway, sooner or later. And then your service offering might get irrelevant, which has been happening in some platform cases.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather suggest them that build your services on the strength of the platform, not on the weakness or gaps of the platform.
Wow. And that's a wrap, guys. Thank you, Rajiv and Store Hippo, for sharing us many useful insights about mobile e-commerce and especially about Store Hippo. This knowledge, these insights you shared will actually kind of really help many emerging, many upcoming e-commerce initiators in India. I wish you all the best. Guys, one more thing. The transcript, the blog of this particular podcast is also available on dezerostories.com and will also be available on my LinkedIn. Don't forget to share. Thank you very much.